Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
One 34, Anna DeVellantis here with you this Friday. Meant to mention earlier, if you've got a question, anything, about cannabis, 3:30 today, Dr. Steve is going to be here. Cannabis and CBD, straight talk about what you need to know. We will open the phone lines, 3:30, and Dr. Steve will take your calls. I often call that the straight dope with Dr. Steve, and I stole that from The Reader because I've read The Reader my entire life, and Sherry Flanders is an editor over there. I hope you don't mind if I occasionally use that, create in sort of a creative license, if you'll grant that to me. How are you, Sherry?
Very well. Thank you, Anna. However, just a little correction. I am not an editor. I am a writer.
Oh, you're a writer. Okay. All right. Yes. Well, I've elevated you already.
Donna Wellen and Carrie Reed. So shout out to the editors who do all the hard work. And I appreciate them.
And Tracy Bain, my fellow Yulene Tech alum. And she's over there.
The best.
She's so good.
Yes.
She's
Hi,
on
Tracy.
It. Hi, Tracy. hey, I just saw this and Tracy actually tweeted it out. And I thought, wow, it's just incredible to kind of go back and look at the roots of things. And the headline is how a story about the horrors of housing projects became part of a horror movie. And it talks about how a story that originally was posted in The Reader 27 years ago became part of the inspiration for the movie Candyman. And it's just an interesting journey. Tell us about it a little, Sherry, if you will.
Wow. Well, it's fascinating because I'm not originally from Chicago. So for me, this is a great new history. The Candyman story, it's basically based on fiction. It was originally a Clive Barker story, and it became embedded in the movie, which basically tells the story of the housing projects of Cabrini Green, which were gentrified and left to go fallow, and there is the story of a man who is inspired actually from the story of an enslaved man years ago who was the victim of mob violence, lynching basically. And so then that gave way to this community fantasy, revenge fantasy of a man with a hook for a hand. If you go to the mirror and you say Candyman five times, then he will appear and enact justice and revenge and all sorts of bloody horrible things.
that's the urban legend that carried with it over time, and people could cite that in different places across the city. You just say it five times into a mirror and watch what happens, and that's part of the background for the movie. But it's interesting, the original article back in 87, it was based on an actual murder that happened in Chicago. And it talked about how they came in through the bathroom mirror was the title. And I saw this today, and it mentions that there was a victim in the housing project of Cabrini Green, a woman, 52 years old, who had some mental health issues. And when she described to the police that someone had tried to come in through her mirror, they thought, well, she's crazy. And they didn't necessarily respond to it. And then 2 days later, they found her dead in her apartment. And indeed, there was something that had come through, somebody who they believed had come through her mirror. And they said it had to do with like the construction of the way the housing was built back then, that they had sort of had thin walls in that spot and that some of them would, be easy to break through and things like that. It's just interesting to see that whole story and then how that evolved into exactly what you're talking about, which was that saying that people would say, if you look in the mirror in the five times, and that's what happens. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, and the 1992 film actually does a great job of depicting that, the bathroom mirror with that hole in it, and the way that someone could come through and how terrifying that would be, and also the failure of the police to respond.
So. Yeah, because I think that's another part of it, isn't it? Sherry, I noticed in Dean Richards' review, he talks about there's social commentary here, too, and there's kind of a story. This one may be very different than the first one in that it talks about gentrification and poverty and in a more sensitive light rather than just sort of shining a light on the crime that happened in the housing complex that was known as Cabrini Green back then.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting because even though the 1992 film, I would say, kind of looks at it through a lens of white saviorism, there actually is still the core of a critique of that saviorism, which I think is what made the original film so appealing. Mm-hmm. And so the new film picks up on that, and it also pulls in a more of a story of gentrification, and so it visits Chicago both then and now, which is a really great journey, and for, obviously, members of the Chicago community and folks who are fans of Chicago, being able to see those Chicago locations highlighted, Cabrini Green, the Art Museum, other places, the Museum of Contemporary Art, they're going to really have some moments of joy seeing them.
Yeah, I bet. It was actually shot on location, Candyman, mm-hmm. the new one, including in some Cabrini Green row houses that are still standing, I saw. And then they used CGI to recreate the torn down towers, and so they really try to recreate what it looked like back then. I heard that the filmmaker Nia DaCosta went back and interviewed people who lived there at that time and tried to understand what it was like to live there and depict that experience in a realistic way.
And I think that's really the great part of the film, that it centralizes the people who lived there. It humanizes them. And instead of allowing them to remain as people who live in projects do often in the community consciousness as just kind of specters of crime and sadness, actually allows them to be humanized and respected as people who have real lives just like the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pretty incredible that the reader story 27 years ago kind of was picked up, as I understand, according to your reader post today, by some sort of aggregator site called Longform. And from there, a lot of people read it who weren't even in the Chicago area. And then, as you pointed out, Clive Barker, this English author way on the other side of the pond, picks it up and writes a short story about it. And
I haven't seen that aggregator article. I'm going to check that out.
Me too, because it's, I thought the same thing when I read that. It's Longform stories that have to be at least 2,000 words. That's the criteria. And they pick up really interesting things from all over the world. So that's part of what sort of set this in motion and led another person in England to write a story about it. And then his book, as you pointed out, or his short story, became the basis for the film. It's a fascinating story. But then isn't there a John Malkovich call in there somewhere? Did I hear about that right?
I don't know about that.
You didn't hear that one? I heard he called.
No.
I thought he called the original writer or the reader or something like that, because he saw it too on Longform. But it's just interesting how that evolved into what we're seeing today. And the remake is out tonight. You going to go see it, Sherry?
I've already seen it.
Oh, how is it? Oh my gosh! So if you because you're as a journalist, you're able to review it. Is that what happened?
Oh. That is correct. I am a film critic and a theater critic in the Chicago area.
Oh my gosh! So what do you think, Sherry? What's your take on it? Should we go see it?
Well, I think it's. I would say go see it for sure.
Were you freaked out by it? I mean, is it one of those, I heard it's kind of bloody and gory. Were you really, really, you know?
I would say I'm not really a horror fan. I have watched horror movies. I do enjoy horror movies. But I think what makes this one so special is that it has much more of a story than your average slasher flick. It has a lot of social commentary that makes it more interesting. It's more of a thinker. It puts you in that sense of place. There's also some really great art from Manual Cinema, one of our local theaters here in town, that does great puppetry and film combination work that is really highlighted in it. It's very beautiful. It's a great cinematic achievement. I really think this is a go-see.
You'd recommend it. All right. Well, Sherry.
I do.
Thank you. Thank you for the time today. It's really, really, it is just, it's again, fascinating to see the backstory behind how this all took place. And it's a good read in The Reader if you want to check it out. That's, is it in the current issue you guys have out now? I just saw it posted
my
online.
My reader actually is online, but the article that you're referring to, that I don't know about.
All right. We'd look around for it. You can find it online or somewhere else. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thanks for the time and enjoy your weekend.
You too. Have a great one.